Last time, we spent a little time in John chapter 6, verse 45, and I'll read what Jesus had said. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh to me. So we see where Jesus references that what was written in the prophets is God teaching a group that he called they. And then Jesus says, therefore. So Jesus is saying there's a conclusion here. Therefore, every man who hears and learns from what Jehovah told the Old Testament prophets comes to Jesus. So in our study of the presupposition of dispensational theology, which proclaims as truth that there are two separate people of God, in other words, as I got written down here, the church and Israel, what group of people is Jesus referring to in regarding the theys? They, who after being taught of the Old Testament prophets by God, that Jesus is saying, they'll come to me. So we looked at some of those writings of the prophets last week. We saw that in Isaiah 2, Isaiah is telling Judah and Jerusalem that in the last days, all nations will come to the house of the Lord, and many people will be taught God's ways and walk in his path. We looked at Isaiah 54. And Isaiah 54 basically gives this picture of basically Israel living in sin. So after living in sin, it says God's going to gather thee, and their children will be taught of the Lord. They'll have great peace, and in righteousness they'll be established. And then in Jeremiah 31, we saw that God is teaching that there is a new covenant, because in those days, a new covenant, where the house of Israel and Judah, where God will put his law in their hearts and they will be his people. So we went back and looked at those verses that Jesus was referencing here, because he says written of the prophets was plural. And the conclusion of reading these Old Testament prophets, therefore, they, those who are taught, hear, learn from the Old Testament, will come to Jesus. And then we also saw in John chapter 6 that God's purpose, Jesus called this the will of the Father, that they, and the audience that he was talking to were the Jews, that they come to Jesus. Now, I had to ask myself this question. Were those verses current, real time, now? Or was Jesus talking about a time yet future? That may seem like a strange question. So is there a dual meaning in these Old Testament prophet scriptures? Because Jesus is referencing them, saying anybody who's been taught of them should see and come to me. So Jesus is talking about stuff that was written and they had studied and had been taught. And he's saying, you've been taught by God, heard and learned, you will come to me. So, was that current or future? Yeah. For the time that Jesus said it, was it current or was Jesus referencing to something that was still going to happen? You can kind of say, well, yes and no. Yeah, there might be a dual meaning because he's saying it to a group of people right here. It's quite obvious you and I, you know, if this is a timeline, you know, beginning and end, you know, it's quite obvious we are here in somewhere on the timeline. And we are reading this current, real time. So as we read those prophets, are we hearing? Are we listening? Are we coming to Jesus? Are we seeing Jesus in those passages? Or are we just seeing a historical people? You have your hand up, Mackenzie? Okay. She was mortified. Yeah, Ben. Yeah, and we'll be getting there. We'll be getting there. The reason why I'm kind of bantering this around is because dispensational theology, if I've understand it correctly, implies that what is written in the prophets did not get fulfilled. In other words, the Isaiah 2, the Isaiah 54, the Jeremiah 31, we can do Ezekiel 38, 39, 40, 41. All these Old Testament prophets, dispensational theology implies that what was written in the prophets did not get fulfilled because the nation of Israel did not come to Jesus when he presented himself to them. And we'll say this is 33 AD. He presented himself. He told them, I'm exactly who all these Old Testament prophets said, pointed to. Here I am. And the nation of Israel did not come to Jesus. So I'm just telling you, dispensational theology says that because the nation did not come to their Messiah, that there is another time yet future where they as a people will come to Jesus. That's right. So, I'm going to ask this question. Was Jesus confused about the timing of the Father's will for them who will come to him, even as individuals? Why would Jesus even tell these Jews, because he came to the nation of Israel, in this conversation in John chapter 6, he is talking to the nation of Israel. He's talking to Jews. That's who he came to. So he came to them and said, you should know by what you have learned that I am the King of David. I'm the Son of David. I'm the Messiah. I mean, we can go through the whole Gospels to see where Jesus was saying, I'm here. I'm it. And he tells this group of Jews, Israel, that they should know this information and come to him. So I'm asking the question, was Jesus confused about the timing of the Father's will? Why would Jesus even say this to them if it did not apply to them? Jesus could have said, I don't know why I am telling you this, because what your prophets said to you on who comes to me, being the king, being the Messiah, doesn't really apply to you today. But don't worry. Over 2,000 years from now, there will be a generation of Israel whom I will gather, whom will actually come to me to be redeemed after I tell them exactly the same thing I just told you guys about the prophets. So, you generation of Israel, you just eat, drink, and be merry. Because for the next 100 plus generations, you will all go to hell for rejecting me as your Messiah. But don't worry, there's a future generation that will hear what the prophet said. I will come back and you'll see me again, and you will actually receive me, and then I will actually be your King and Messiah. I'm maybe a little facetious here a little bit, but isn't that what dispensational theology is saying? They're saying there's a generation of Israel that's going to actually receive Christ according to what the prophets said. And they're going to actually recognize Jesus. They're actually going to come to him. They're actually going to be redeemed. And it's all future. So I'm sitting there thinking, what in the world did Jesus even tell them this in the first place? Yep. Yeah, imagine that. What you got time for? Well, even before that, I mean, he had done miracles. They had seen the miracles, so the group was gathering because of the miracles. And then that group that followed him after the miracles were hanging out, and then the disciples said, well, it's time to eat. You know, and Jesus said, well, look at all these people here. I'm just saying that when Jesus says it is written in the prophets, he is specifically addressing that to Israel. So the group of people that he's talking to, I am throwing into the group that they are the nation of Israel, because it would be no different than the prophets, Isaiah, the prophet Jeremiah, the prophet Ezekiel, when God said, go talk to the people. Who do you think they went and talked to? They went and talked to the people that lived in that area, that land. And that is exactly what Jesus is doing here. That is exactly what Jesus is doing here. He is doing exactly what the prophets before him did. But instead of him receiving the word of God, he is the word of God standing before them saying, hello, here's what was written. You've been taught, you have heard, you have learned. And if you had been taught and heard and learned, you would come to me, because that was the whole point of John 6. That I don't know how many times he said, come to me, come to me. You've seen these things, you've heard these things, come to me. And then they're going, you're just a carpenter's son. You're just a carpenter's son. So let's go to Romans. Did you have something, Ben? Well, that's interesting that you bring that up, because whether I'm going to get to it today, I heard Alistair Begg say something on the radio, and I just felt like this was so profound. So it's going to have to do with what you just said, but I ain't going to say it yet. I'm going to follow my note. Yeah, guy. Okay. So he's talking to individual Jews from the nation of Israel. So those people didn't make up the nation? So he's just talking to individuals. So when he says it is written in the prophets, that has nothing to do with the nation of Israel? Okay, and we're going to see how that is going to play out with the institution of the new covenant. So we're heading there. So you're kind of suggesting that Jesus isn't really dealing with the nation of Israel here, but he really is going to deal with the nation of Israel here. Okay, but who did Jesus come to? Okay, so when... I'm just asking the question, then, who did Jesus come to? Did he come to individuals, or did he come to Israel? We're in John 6. I'm sorry, what? Yes, that is absolutely true. And I'm in the process of trying to lay some groundwork for us to get to the new covenant. And so No, you're not. I appreciate the dialogue. I want the dialogue. So let's go to Romans 16 then. In my email, I said we're going to go to 25 and 26. So Romans 16, 25 through 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And then for to read 27, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So is this a benediction? There's a little more going on here than a benediction. Ben. Yeah, so what I have, again, as I read scriptures and as I talk with you guys, I'm always presenting the questions that come to my mind. I'm thinking, if I'm asking myself the question, what does God reveal is an answer here. So, in God's plan of redemption, because that's the whole point that we've kind of been talking about for weeks here, because from the beginning to the end, there's a plan of redemption. And I kind of alluded to that when we were in John chapter 6, when Jesus said, all the Father gave me will come, I will lose none, and I give them eternal life, and they will be resurrected on the last day. So I said that that group called all that the Father gave, can we then look at Scripture and subdivide that group into distinct groups? So, redemption, from the beginning to the end. That scripture verse is kind of like Ephesians 1, where Ephesians 1 says that God, from the foundation of the world, has chosen you. So, that is a group. I would suggest that that group in Ephesians 1 is the same group that Jesus is talking about, is the will of his Father that this group that's being redeemed is the part of the all. And again, as what Guy said, then the all is made up of all these individual theys. We, them, you know, the pronouns that he was talking about. So, all. So, but what's interesting about this verse, so Paul's talking about the gospel that he's preaching, about Jesus Christ, and it says, according to the revelation of the mystery. That word revelation means disclosure, kind of a legal term. I mean, think about like an insurance contract. I mean, there's a disclosure associated with that. So, I mean, when you're looking at it, you don't really know the details of it until you read the disclosure. And Paul is saying that the disclosure was a mystery kept secret before the world began. So Paul is saying this disclosure of the details has been hidden, mysteriously secret. And what does this section of Scripture say? But now. So wherever Paul said that on the timeline here in, I don't know, 50 AD or 60 AD, Paul is saying that the disclosure of the mystery, and you look up that word mystery, it's mysterion. It just means to be secret. And in fact, it uses the word shut your mouth. In other words, when somebody tells you something, you know, you put your hand over your mouth and you don't say anything. You know, shut your mouth. He says, is now, 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 but now is made manifest. That word manifest is to reveal and to render apparent by the scriptures of the... Paul's just reviewing exactly what Jesus said in John 6. He's saying the scriptures of the prophet have been hidden. The disclosure has been secret from the foundation of the world till this very time. So that means the whole history of the nation of Israel, the gospel, has been, I would say, kind of hidden. But it is fully disclosed now, and as somebody just said, it's been made known now to the nations. All the nations. For the purpose of the obedience of faith. So the point here is there is something big. There is something new going on now that people didn't understand back here. It's quite obvious individuals like Abraham, like Noah. I mean, we can go to chapter 11 and look at the people of faith. They had faith looking forward, believing God, accounted to them for righteousness, but they had faith in a day where they would actually be redeemed, where their sins would actually be atoned for, because they knew all those blood sacrifices weren't getting the job done. But they had faith in a day where it would all be taken care of. Yeah, Ben. Amen. So Paul is saying, as we read the scriptures of the prophet, there is something hidden, mysterious, yet new and current being revealed to us. So are we to be using an old covenant literal hermeneutic to determine what the scriptures of the prophets are saying? Are we to now be using a new covenant hermeneutic to determine what is being said about the scriptures of the prophets. Because something new is going on. And then, great, that's going to lead me into what Alistair Begg said here. So, when we read Jeremiah 31 last time, where the prophet says, the days are coming where I will create a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, where I will be their God, they will be my people, and I will give them a new heart. I will put my law inside them. So now I have to ask the question, did Jesus accomplish that here? Or is it still to be accomplished way out here? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an example. So, again, I just have to ask the question, when we read Jeremiah 31, based on what Paul just said here in Romans 16, when we read Jeremiah 31, what was hidden, what was mysterious, what was undisclosed when everybody read it before Jesus came. And now when Jesus has come and he has performed the one and final act, and we're going to be heading to Hebrews. I've been promising that for, now I can say months. I've been promising we're going to Hebrews for months. We ain't there yet. But when we get to Hebrews, we're going to see what Jesus accomplished on the cross for redemption for this group called all. I'm just asking the question because you're going to have to make your own personal decisions about what you think Jeremiah 31 is talking about. Whether Jeremiah 31 was fulfilled here, or whether it's still waiting to be fulfilled way out here. Because you're kind of implying that Jesus brought his atonement, redemption, to individuals here, but at some point in time he's going to bring it to a nation out here. So, the new covenant. Was the new covenant established here, inaugurated here, put in force here, or is there still another new covenant to be inaugurated, to be established, to be put in force out here? Well, I guess if you want to put it that way, there would be an old covenant, then some type of new covenant Jesus instituted here, and then another new covenant instituted out here. Let me read to you what Alistair Begg said. And it's kind of interesting, and I haven't listened to his whole series, but he's actually teaching on the 70th week of Daniel. So I'm not here to talk about eschatology. but he did have a conclusion. What I'm going to say, a conclusion about Israel that I thought was kind of profound here. And Alistair is so kind and loving of his brethren. He references brothers and sisters as his AD or his 70 AD friends and his 1948 friends. 70 AD is referring to partial preterist, and 1948 is referencing his dispensational friends. So it's kind of funny how he didn't use those words because he feels those words are inflammatory. So he just says 70 AD friends, 1948 friends. That's how he references. And he says his friends claim they have climbed the mountain of eschatology and are at the top. He says, it's like climbing the mountains in Ireland. That's where he's from. He says, you look up and you start to climb and you get to the top. And he goes, when you get to the top, you're not at the top. There's more mountain to climb. So as he says, as he reads his Bible, he is saying that there is more mountain to climb regarding these subjects. But here's one of the conclusions that I heard him say on the radio. He said, Jesus claimed to Israel, to the Jews, to the people of that time, because he went to Jerusalem. Yes, Jerusalem is made up of a bunch of individuals, but he came to his own. And those collective group of individuals are called Israel. So he came to Israel. And he proclaimed he was the replacement for the temple. Did he not? In 3 days. I don't know how many times he referenced in 3 days. It's coming down. And they were all flipped out like, what? The ultimate anointing of the Holy One and the holy place was Jesus himself. The real temple, the real place of reconciliation and redemption is coming to Jesus. Exactly what he said throughout the whole Gospels to these people. The real temple and the real place of kingly rule is coming to Jesus, who ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father. Jesus said, and this is kind of what you were alluding to earlier, Jesus says, I have to go. And we could get into a whole study on why Jesus said that. And one person will say, well, one of the reasons Jesus said he had to go is because he had to send the Comforter. But another reason Jesus had to go, because his kingdom is not of this world. That's what the Jews expected. The Jews expected, in fact, even in Acts 1, 9 or 8, the Jews are still asking him, are you going to come back and give the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, no, here's the business that you're to be about. He had to leave because his kingdom is not of this world. But he goes, I will leave you the Holy Spirit. Now here's what was kind of profound that I thought Alistair said. He's saying, I'm paraphrasing all this. I tried to go back and listen to the tape here. Jesus the King, his temple, his throne, his kingdom, his land, His defeat of the enemy, everything that the physical bloodline of the Jews thought the king and Messiah was going to do, is accessible through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Father, Son, in other words, the Godhead, access to God is through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not confined to an earthly geographical kingdom, nation, temple, or people. The Holy Spirit is present in all nations, fulfilling the promise God made to Abraham. God promised Abraham and his seed that he would be a father of many nations. And Alistair was saying that the Holy Spirit fulfills that, because the Holy Spirit is present in all nations. He says the only true pilgrimage to the Holy Land is to come to Jesus. He is the Holy Land. He is the temple. He is the king. He sits on the throne. His kingdom is not of this world. He goes, the nations are coming to the temple, and they're coming to the kingdom when they come to Jesus through the preaching of the gospel of the new covenant. And he concludes this, and he goes, with this information, he goes, the pessimists look down, the fearful look around, but the faithful look up, for their redemption draws nigh. This is the new and better covenant that came to Israel first, and then the nation. Because Israel is actually just another one of the nations that the new covenant and the gospel has come to. They just happen to be the first on the list. Just like I told you last year, it's like last week, it's like the movie premiere. The new covenant premiere came to Israel first, and then it went out to the world for all to hear and to see, to take up the invitation to come to Jesus. All right. We're late. Let's pray.